Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
Last night, Everton Football Club had a shock 1-0 win against Man United in a game that was somewhat marred by controversy, you might say. Just 13 minutes into the Toffees' remarkable Premier League win, Everton midfielder Idrissa Gueye was sent off for striking his teammate Michael Keane. So just how much of a big issue is this, and what sort of an example is it setting? Dan Pitcher from Off the Ball is in studio with me now. Dan, you might give us a quick explainer for anyone who hasn't seen this footage from the game last night.
Yeah, and to be honest, I didn't think with you that there was a huge amount in it. So basically, Gueye was defending in front of his own goal. There was an opportunity for Manchester United to try and score. He defends it, sees, and I was only looking just before I came down here at an angle from the Manchester United fans behind the goal, and you could see that he had seen Michael Keane in his periphery to pass the ball to, but as he let the ball roll and release to Keane, Keane just stood off it and did nothing. And basically Bruno Fernandes saw a huge opportunity, massive gap, took a shot, probably should have went in, but it had just gone wide, Fernandes' shot. So that could have been costly for Everton, and they could have coughed up the lead early on in the game. So from what I can see and from what I saw is that he got a bit thick, that he could see the player and you could see him shouting towards him going, right, it's yours. And he just stood off it and did nothing. As I said, that could have been a really costly goal for Everton, and they might not have won the game. But maybe, you know, had United taken the lead, that might have been their trigger to push on and probably score one or two more. So, yeah, he got thick with Michael Keane, and he did sort of strike him. There wasn't a huge amount in it. The referee was looking right at them, and he came over and made a decision straight away that had to be a red card.
Do you think it was a red card?
I think the referee could have dealt with it in a different way. I wouldn't have sent him off. It's an opportunity to go over and just calm everything down, to go, listen, lads, it's early on in the game. Maybe if it was late on, you know, 80-something minutes and, you know, it was a cauldron, and you know that had happened, maybe, and you know tensions might have flared up that little bit more. The Everton goalkeeper Jordan Pickford did very, very well to come over and calm the tensions a little bit, and completely drag him away. This was even before the referee came over with the card in his hand.
He was very quick to defuse it, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was, and he did very well to do that. The referee should have just let everybody just take a breather and calm down and take it easy. Even the Everton manager David Moyes afterwards said that he was initially annoyed that, you know, his players had come to blows, what, 14 minutes into a game, but then, you know, once he had an opportunity to realize and sort of see what he got angry about, he said, well, actually, I'm kind of glad that he got up in his face, because
they have the passion and they care.
Yeah, exactly. And as I said before, that moment could have been costly for Everton.
But it shows they care, but it's terrible behaviour from, you know, I'm thinking of my young lads who look up to Premiership players and like gods, you know, so terrible role model behaviour there, Dan, do you not think?
Yes and no. I mean, yeah, I do get where you're coming from. And like, look, you know, I'm involved in my local football club, and you know, kids do look up to footballers at that level. In a heat of a moment, though, you can easily lose sight of, you know, sort of like that sort of bigger picture, in that, you know, this doesn't look great for kids looking up. Because what you don't want, and you're completely right, what you don't want is to show up to your kid's match on a Saturday or a Sunday morning and see that kind of
and
behavior.
And they're going to do the same thing.
Yeah, because kids, and let's admit as well, kids are very, very easily in, they're more easily influenced than perhaps I was or maybe you were as a kid. They see everything in front of them. They have everything at the touch of a finger in terms of their phones. They see all of that. So what you obviously don't want is for kids to be going around and pushing their teammates at the weekend because they did something wrong.
Exactly.
Or, you know, whatever.
So especially when it is infighting amongst the same team. I think that's a terrible message as well. Not that you want to see fighting with anyone on a pitch, to be honest. But let me bring in some other voices. Yeah. Stay with us in studio, Don. Sean Slattery, member of the Irish Soccer Referees Society, is on the line. Sean, was it a definite red card by your standards?
It was, Anna. Yeah, I know there's mentioned there about using common sense, and a lot of times you see players, they might drag each other by the jersey or pop on or you mark them up. But the Law 12 leaves no discretion on this. This is straightforward. It's violent conduct. It actually states that they're challenging for the ball. The player strikes an opponent or another person with the arm or head or hand on the face. It's guilty of violent conduct. It's a red card. There's no discretion on it. So there will be lots of times in games when, they say common sense, you see fellas arguing with each other and effing and blinding or whatever, you don't need to be a lip reader on the TV.
No.
But the common sense comes in then, and you see referees that actually, you know, tell them to pop on or whatever, a quiet word sometimes happens there. But when it came to the slap in the face, there's no discretion there, and the referee himself would be in trouble with his own bosses if he didn't do a red card for that.
Okay, so he was doing his job and he did it right.
Yeah, he did. There's no real discretion with it. The common sense bit goes out once it goes to the actual hand to face, a slap or a punch, anything like that.
Yes, okay.
So discretion is taken out of it, really, you know. And it's gone beyond the norms. It's like we have industrial language. There's a lot of people there listening now, you know, it's used in matches, etc. And a lot of referees, the quiet word sometimes happens, but not when it came to that, he had no choice. Whether it was on TV or the Phoenix Park, it didn't matter.
Well, that's a good point, because we're all standing on sidelines at the weekends and we certainly don't want to see the behaviour repeated. Who else do we have? Fiona Connolly, Everton fan and soccer coach and local councillor. What do you make of it, Fiona?
There's a fine line between coming onto a match and being pumped and ready to be competitive and falling into aggression. And I think that as a professional sports person, that you have a duty to hold yourself to a high standard and to know, like, to hold that line and hold that space of being a role model. Like, they're on such huge salaries, they have such a huge audience watching it, and I don't think it's acceptable. And I absolutely agree with Don's comments that the referee has a duty of care to the, and I'm an Everton fan, like, the rest of the match was very difficult for me to watch when we're down to 10 players, but at the same time, like, I'm involved in grassroots football. I coach the under 8 boys and the under 16 girls, and it's just like, you want to provide a safe space to play for all of the players on the pitch. And like, what's the hallmark of a really good team is when a teammate can make a mistake and you keep going, that you're not judged or, you know, focusing on that you can move on from the mistakes and keep that growth mindset going forward, rather than like losing your patience, losing your temper with a colleague or with like a teammate. Like, that just doesn't, that's not, there's no place for that in the sport.
Mm-hmm. It's not a good look. Let me read out some of these texts. If my kids see footballers as role models, it's not their fault, it's mine. Role models should be closer to home. Let the footballers play, says Brian. Someone else makes the point, had United lost against 11 players, we'd be talking about why he wasn't sent off, going by the rule of the law. Okay, so it's now okay to assault someone once you're on a football pitch and have to be dragged away. I don't think so, says someone else. As a referee, striking anybody is a red card, says Yvonne. Antonio Mantero's on the line. Antonio, you have experience as a coach. Was it a red card?
Well, by the letter of the game, the law of the game, yeah, it is a red card. But, you know, and Sean will probably know this, you know, for me, the contact was minimal. It was a slap. And a follow-through was more of a shove, you know, so it wasn't a full follow-through slap. I think he kind of slapped them and then almost shoved them. So there is also a yellow card where the contact is minimal, more of a shove or a hand-up rather than a strike, which would be a yellow card. I think these things are extremely rare in football. I mean, it's very, very unusual for two players to confront each other like that. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. There's probably a bit of context to it, i.e., you know, something happened in training. You know, it was having a go with someone in training, and then maybe this is a follow through in the game. Something could have been said in the changing rooms. Look, these things happen in training all the time. You know, players confront each other. They have little incidents. You know, it's dealt with straight away, and players move on. By the end of the game, those two fellas will probably be best of mates. But, I mean, look, you can't compare the professional game to the grassroots game. I mean, there's a lot at stake in a professional game. There's points at stake. There's positional, you know, potentially if there was a mistake made there, cause a goal, you know, he might be playing next week. So there is a lot at stake. I think also as well...
They're also paid very well, let's be honest, to conduct themselves in a certain way.
Absolutely, yeah. They're paid very well. You know, but football is a very emotional game. Like I said, there's a lot at stake. And these things are extremely rare. I mean, if you look at other sports at the weekend, i.e. rugby, GAA, I mean, there's fights all the time. People are slapping, punching each other, hitting each other with hurls. And, you know, there isn't the same level of outrage when those things
happen. Or scrutiny,
you know?
Do you not think so? Dan, you did make the point that there's high emotions across many different sports over the years.
I think he's made a really good point there. You know, if there's an incident in a GAA county or a club match and it, you know, brings together a melee and it goes viral, certain people often stand up and go, oh, well, you know, that's this is what sort of real men... And look, you know, kids look up to GAA players just as much as they look up to soccer, or just as much as they look up to rugby. And, you know, people will defend it and go, oh, you know, this is, you know, proper man's, you know, sort of stuff. They're getting up and they're showing them what they're made of. So I think he's made a really good point there. So, and he said that it was high stakes. It was. They went above their Merseyside rivals. It's been a frustrating season. As he said, they're have been things sort of bubbling there underneath. So I think you know, a really good point made there. Obviously in the weekend there was the incident where we all thought that one of the South African players should have been either red or yellow carded for a tackle head on Tommy O'Brien. That caused a bit of a melee as well. I don't seem to recall people going, that was an absolute disgrace, or, you know, whatever, rugby players should know better, or, you know, whatever. I think, you know, this...
Are we quick to jump on the footballers? Is that what you're suggesting, Dan?
I don't know if we're quick to jump on footballers. I think there's been a lot made of this. And as I mentioned there, David Moyes sort of stood up for his player and said, look, you know, probably shouldn't have happened, but look, I'm glad that he showed the passion. The Manchester United boss for you know, like he was on the losing side of that match last night, Ruben Amorim, and he came out and said there was nothing in it. There shouldn't have been a red card. Maybe just an opportunity for everybody just to take a breath and go, okay.
Well, he did actually, Idrissa Gueye did come out on his Instagram and apologise. Important for us to say that. I want to apologise first to my teammate, Michael. I take full responsibility for my reaction. I also apologise to my teammates, the staff, the fans, the club. And he goes on to make a full and very genuine apology, I think. Sharon is on the line in Dublin. Sharon, what do you think about the behaviour in general?
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Yeah, I can understand that, you know, it gets emotional, it gets very, very heavy. But I think you can't condone someone slapping someone. It's not good for the younger ones to see. And I think there should be a team meeting where they look at it, they talk about it and say, look, you know, you'll have to learn how to control yourself in these situations. Because you never know if you strike the wrong person, you know, they could really, really take offence. It's just not good behaviour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because we have some people texting in saying things like soccer has hit a new low. The number of commentators and Moyes defending violence is absolutely disgusting. I think they need to take a long, hard look at themselves. And the next text underneath that says, stop overreacting. Your kids' football match is safe. What do you think, Dan?
I think kids' football... Yeah,
no,
look,
there's often... Sorry, it's got over
no,
you.
No,
sorry.
No, no.
Go ahead, Sharon. Go ahead.
There is often you see things, you know, at the football matches with kids that you wouldn't really agree with either. You know, I don't agree with all the shouting that goes on by some parents, and, you know, it gets a bit... People just need to have a bit of manners, basically.
Yeah, I actually think the children, for the most part, are fantastic and fantastically well behaved. I think the parents need to be quiet sometimes on the sidelines. Dan, you've stood on many a sideline yourself.
I have, and like as a coach previously as well. And I think there's been some, you know, really good campaigns to, you know, let the kids play silent sidelines. I think Antonio was actually probably behind one of them. Your caller there, and like, yeah, I generally like they do, like, kids are kids are very good at emulating the whole sort of teamwork and get into a huddle and, you know, we're all for one and one for all kind of approach to sport. I think, as I said, probably a lot has been made of last night's incident. It's not great that he slapped, and as we mentioned, there was a minimal contact there with him. Michael Keane was sort of stepping back. But I think far too much has sort of been made of it. Football hitting you. I mean, I wonder if that, you know, person would have the same reaction if, you know, like many videos blow up of GAA altercations. And as you said, they're slapping each other with hurls and, you know, sort of throwing heads. I wonder, would they have the same sort of reaction to that?
Mm-hmm. Antonio, are you still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah. What's your reaction to those texts and what Dan is saying here?
Yeah, look, I think the kids' sport is safe, and like that lady mentioned, you know, or maybe it was yourself, you know, the kids are unbelievable role models in terms of their game and that. And, you know, most children will imitate the positive sides of the game, you know, in terms of how they might be able to impact their team positively. So it could be a dive in the penalty box, you know, it could be a knee slide, it could be, you know, anything that's more positive in terms of the game. So I think it's going to be very unusual for a player to really intimidate what happened last night to go and hit his own player. I just can't see it happening at underage game. And like I said, it is, you know, what happened last night is extremely rare. I mean, when was the last time that happened? You know, probably Dan will probably know.
Maybe 2005, Lee Boyer and Kieran Dwyer. Kieran
2005,
Dwyer.
Yeah. So,
is it
know,
really?
Go, yeah. 20-odd years ago. So yeah. Here we are. Yeah, and yeah, that's probably why there is outrage, because it you know, it is extremely rare. So, but no, I think the kids' game is safe. I think the biggest impact on the kids' game is the parents, and you know, we hear every week after week after week, you know, in terms of parents on the sideline, how you know it's not positive, and you know, we need to kind of step in and do a lot more in terms of how parents react, and you know, parents should not get
or don't.
So emotionally involved in the game. They should let the emotions stay within the lines of the game and let the kids enjoy their game and play as if they were just playing, you know, with their teammates on the green.
And have fun and enjoy it, most importantly. That's Antonio Mantero, coach at Castleknock Celtic and also founder of the Silent Sideline. Daniel Pitcher from Much Off the Ball, thank you very much for joining us in studio, and thanks to Sean Slattery as well, Fiona Connolly and all of our callers and texters on that item.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
Hey football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc. See.